Listener production. Hello and welcome to the Footy Talk Summer Series, where we are showing you a little bit of something else that we produce here at the Listener Studios. The Howie Games is Australia's number one sports podcast, and it's where the biggest names in the world of sport go one-on-one with our very own Mark Howard. To date, Howie has published over 200 episodes, and across the next few weeks in this Footy Talk podcast feed, we're going to be sharing some mini episodes of some of our favourite footy personalities that have joined Howie on the podcast. This next 15 to 20 minutes is just a small taster of a longer hour and a half episode where Howie sat down and had a chat with Cyril Rioli back in 2018. In this mini episode, Cyril speaks about growing up in the Tiwi Islands and adjusting to moving to Melbourne. He also speaks about his first memories walking into the Hawthorn Football Club and playing his first ever grand final.
The Tiwi Islands. Firstly, where are the Tiwi Islands, for those that don't know?
Tiwi Islands is 80 k's north of Darwin. So
were you born in Darwin or on the Tiwi?
Born in Darwin, yeah. I'm not too sure. Yeah, they do have hospitals and that over there, but I'm not too sure if they have to fly into Darwin to give birth and stuff. But
you grew up in the Tiwi?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
grew up there. So tell me about that. Tell me growing up in the Tiwi Islands. What was life like for junior boy?
Yeah, well, it's not...
It's not what?
Barefoot. It's not completely different, but not the Melbourne lifestyle, but it was...
barefoot?
You know, barefoot. When you'd go into Darwin, it's probably the only time you would want to put shoes on in a way. I would put shoes on. It was very... it was just free. Like, it'd be... You know, a group of us boys, and we'd sort of do whatever. You know, the beach is right there, the swimming holes are right there. We'd be on our bikes, we'd go down to the ramp and have a little fish. You'd go shooting on weekends, you'd go camping. Like, it was like one of those things where you had access to everything and it was just there. Like, you know, for us, footy was a big part too. Obviously went to school during the day, but we enjoyed getting out and doing what we wanted. Like I said, we'd pretty much after school be like, oh, what do you want to do? Let's go for a fish or let's go for a ride or let's kick the footy or so. It's just as anything, yeah. But at the same time, you know, we all went to school, which was, you know,
poor. What were you like at school?
I'm pretty quiet, but yeah, I was just trying to stick at it and try and do what I could, really. Yeah, that's like probably not a school person, but most people, you know, school's not for them. But I, you know, just tried to work as hard as I could, really. Yeah.
Do you always want to play footy, or did that just sort of come your way?
Always wanted to play footy. I really loved, you know, obviously footy was very big growing up, and you know, that was a sport to play. Like, there's not really many other sports. I think we might have had a basketball carnival. Actually, yeah, I did. I did athletics, actually.
Right.
I did the Pacific School Games in 2000.
What were you?
Went to Sydney. I did the 100 and the 800, I think. The 800.
I was about to say, you better sharpen the 100.
Nah, but that was something that I think my mum might have said, oh, they've got an athletics thing, so they're going to end up just doing it. And I think I ended up making the NT team, but... Yeah, sorry to go off thing, but and then obviously in Darwin, like, the footy and the rugby season would be on. The footy season, and then that would finish, and then the rugby season. So when I spent that year in Darwin, I spent 1 year in Darwin for high before I moved down to come down to Melbourne to Scotch. I think I'd had a year of rugby. I think I played maybe,
Can you remember your first game of footy?
Footy.
Organised footy?
Just trying to think. Maybe my first game, I think we might have played a game against Snake Bay, which is another community on Melville. I think we played them at the footy ground, at the home footy ground, and I can't remember if we won or lost, but they had, you know, goals set up and all
boots,
that.
Boots? No boots?
No, no boots. But it was just, we never really had that unless you went into Darwin. But I remember when, like I said, Dad was playing and he would fly me in sometimes. So I got to fly with him and play with St. Mary's, and I think I was about 13 there maybe. So that was, 12, 13. So that was awesome to play for, you know, the club, your home club back there.
Especially if your dad was playing as well. Before we get on the big plane here down to Scotch, again, mate, just to come back to the lifestyle, what's the key to being a good hunter? Like, how do you hunt? I know that's a crazy question for you, but it's not from where I sit.
Yeah. I don't know. I think just growing up there and what you're just observing what everyone else does around you or what they do there, you know, like I said, I went out with my grandfather and my uncles or whoever.
And what are they teaching you?
You just got to do, just got to observe, like just tell you the ins and outs and what to do, what not to do, and stay away from here. Or I don't know what the key is to being a good hunter. I think you just got to know the land, really. I think that's all it is. You know, you can't muck around too much with what goes on in some remote communities because you're not allowed on some places. So you actually got to know where you're going, really, and obviously use a gun to shoot. So I think they're the couple things, but you just. Yeah, fun doing it, really. You get what you can. You get what you need to eat. And or if you want to get extra for other people, that's cool. But you don't, we never really, you know, overshot anything or, you know, it was all for, you know, just all for us.
So you get drafted to Hawthorn, mate, as a 17 or 18-year-old. Mm-hmm. You're pretty shy, pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. In those first couple of years, what do you remember about walking into that footy club?
I remember just sort of seeing how professional it was and how, you know, sort of welcoming everyone was. It was, you know, you were made, you know, I felt really comfortable going into the club. It was such a huge eye-opener, you know, going from school to getting drafted and then going there and you get to meet, you know, Croft and Hodgie and the guys, Bud, you know, Ruffy, the guys I got to play a lot of footy with, but pretty scary at the same time too, you know, knowing that these guys they've played at the level and they've been doing it for a number of years. So it's pretty daunting in a way and scary because, you know, they had a pretty good final series the year before, and then it's like, and then going in, and it's like, oh, there's a bit of pressure, but they're going pretty, expectations of them, and I mean, they were all pretty calm about it, but it was such a good feeling walking in the into those doors there.
You playing in a grand final as, how old were you, 18?
19.
You played, I think, just about every game for the year.
Yeah.
What's your memories of that first grand final?
The Hawks climb the mountain. Here's the best caller in the game, Brian Taylor.
Thanks to Vodafone, Trip and Rocks Football 2008 grand final underway. Campbell got the knockdown as Hodges' ribs have been tested out down the other end of the ground by Mooney.
Memories. Obviously, going, like, the whole week was pretty... was pretty big. The things that you had to do, obviously, I don't know if some of the players have gone through, but it's a pretty hectic week.
Yeah.
So all the media, like doing media and all that sort of stuff was pretty big, but I felt like the after the game when you sort of get welcomed onto the podium or...
Yeah.
That was pretty... That's such a, you know... Such a really, like, unreal feeling to get up on the podium and to hear that final siren. It's crazy. It's like, you know, one of the best times to, just one of the happy times, you know. Yeah. Getting the premiership under the belt. Yeah.
A lot of highlights in that grand final. We won't go specifically into games. That's not what we do in this show. But I think one of the most famous moments, and I was looking back at it last night, was out on the wing with Enright and I think Max Rook. And you're in your first year and you managed to take the ball off two blokes and apply a tackle. And I don't think I've heard a roar around the MCG like it, and reading about it, apparently they were roaring in the commentary box as well. You remember that? In the coach's box.
Still fighting on. Now he tackles Rook, doesn't let him go. Dispossessing
tackle. How good was that from Rioli?
Great play, Rioli. It was great to move. And a free kick will now go with the Hawks, and I think it will be Rioli for his efforts.
Three on one, BT. Not just three. He took on Enright and then Rook. And I think Milburn was there as well. So he three senior players, and it gets applause from Clarkson on the ACG.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It was just doing things for the team. That's my role to play. So I sort of found that not to be normal, but that's my role to play. So that's what I need to do. If I'm not doing that, then, you know. So, but yeah, it's you know, I've heard it a few times from a few people, but. In a way, that was my role to play. Like, I did everything I can to try and win the ball back, and I felt like over the years or since I've been playing, that's all I've really tried to do is work, you know, sort of do everything I can to get the ball back early, yeah.
Sometimes when you're out there, this, again, as a modest man, mate, I'm not sure how you're going to answer this question, but sometimes when you're out there on fire doing your thing on the MCG in front of a big crowd, whether it's a final or a grand final, it looks like you're made. It's like almost like the cliches you're born to play on that stage. Have you ever been out on the ground? How do you feel when you're out there playing at your best in front of a massive crowd when everything is going your way?
He's going to set it to left footer. Cyril's got to beat a couple. You wouldn't put it past him.
They get some run going.
Look at the chase. Oh! You can't do that.
He's gone.
No one in the game can do that.
He's saying he handballed the ball, Hutching.
How does it make you feel?
Yeah, you're exciting. You feel like... you can sort of do anything when you're at the top of your game and you're doing things like when you're doing things that you sometimes wouldn't have the confidence to do. I felt like at training I'd you know, practice when I could, but I felt like I just I trained hard and did all the things that you need to do, and goal kicking and all that stuff and whatever it may be. But you know, I've just tried to play on instinct, really. That's the main thing. I haven't, you know, I felt like since I was a junior or since I've been playing footy, I've tried to play the same way, you know. So, I don't know, you feel like, you know, it's funny, I see a bit of, well, what Daniel does and Willie, and it makes me proud, or it makes me excited to see that they're the next guys to carry the name on, really.
Yeah. Rightly or wrongly, mate, you watch some athletes and it seems to be life and death for them playing out there. From the outside looking in, it was looked like you were a bloke that loved playing footy and you gave it your best, but there was other things just as important in your life. I thought that until the grand final against Sydney. You beat Fremantle the year before and you'd had your hamstring.
Yeah.
And you possibly weren't going to play in that game. Mm. And then you're on the bench in tears. And I remember seeing, because I was sitting behind you working with Triple M, and I thought, wow, this means a lot to this bloke.
Let's get down to Howie, thanks to Bob Jane too much.
Yeah, the Hawthorn boys are starting to take the acceptance. Damien Monkhurst is trying to tell Ruffy what he needs to do, and he's in the back giving Cyril a little hug in the red vest. So the Hawthorn boys are starting to enjoy themselves.
Yeah, we've got a good look at it. Yeah, it did. It gets emotional thinking about it, but...
Why is that?
Oh, because I'd had an uncle who had passed away in 2012, like mid-year. So, you know, try to dedicate the year to him as much as I can, dedicate the year to him and finish out the year for him. And we'd end up losing 2012 to Sydney. And then, so that, like, that side of things, that hurt a lot, you know. And that killed me. And then, obviously, for the next year to And I always felt like I sort of owed him one to the thing. You know, I felt like I dedicated my year to him and, you know, to get over that hurdle type thing, you know, to get that one back. And it sort of hit me on the bench when bloody coach subbed me out and stuff. but when I sat there and I felt like he was there, and that's why, and obviously we got a few hugs and stuff, but to be honest, I didn't think I was going to come back and play that year because I'd had such a pretty bad hammy injury. And, you know, we didn't find out until I'd end up playing a game a week before that just to, see how the body went, and yeah, got picked in the team. And but yeah,
the game the week before was
grand final.
It was
Box
a grand
Hill,
final,
and
Box Hill.
That was my first. That was my first game down there. So it was pretty daunting. Like, I think I get a bit of stiff from the crowd that day, but it hurt a bit, you know, that we end up, you know, we lost the game, and that was especially for the guys down there, and for me, like, you know, losing,
it was a tough one because you were only allowed to play half the game as well.
Yeah, and that's it, yeah, and they were down a few points and all that, and I felt like, I felt a bit crap in a way, the fact that I was only played that certain amount of time, and there were a few players down, and they nearly had the win and stuff, and you know, I still think about it every now and then, you know. But when I was sitting there on the bench and getting emotional, that was, yeah, I felt like he was there, to be honest, and that's probably why I teared up a bit, because yeah, like I said, that hurdle of getting that one back for him, that was, you know, sort of a little bit just helped in a way, you know. So
2015, you won your third in a row, so your fourth grand final, mate.
So the countdown begins. We've got 16 seconds left. Three grand final wins in a row for this incredible footy club. Prittis out the back, but Hodge able to break it up in the air. On the up to Gaff, still a ball taking tackle from Hodge. Inside 50 go, West Coast. Gibson with a fist. There it is! The Hawks have won three premierships in a row and joined the ranks of the greatest teams of all time.
We mentioned right at the start that your father, Cyril, his brother, Maurice Rioli, I reckon he won the first Norm Smith medal. Mm. And then your sister, your mum's brother, Michael, won the Norm Smith medal. You played one of the great grand finals, one of the great quarters against West Coast. Well, I know, mate, it makes you nervous. You don't like people talking about you.
No, it's just getting back to thinking about that day, and that's all, really.
Tell me about that day.
Oh, it's just, you know, like I said, in a way, I never really felt like in terms of the expectations of the name, I never really cared about that. Not that I cared, but I think, you know, after, you know, sort of winning that award and just felt, you know, personally, just a huge relief in terms of everyone, these whole expectations, and I've never really felt like I've worried about it. But that day, just personally, I was like, I felt like, you know, I've done something. You know, my uncles did too, so I was pretty proud. You know, I was very happy. You know, I've had the, you know, support of had a, you know, really good time on that day, but no, it was such an unreal feeling, you know, the fact that not that I worried about that hype, but, you know, to actually win one, like, it was pretty special, you know, look at Hodgie, he's won two and stuff, and, you know, things like that. And to be presented, you know, with the medal by, you know, the NT legend, one of the great players, Andrew McLeod, that was unreal.
The winner of the Norm Smith medal is Cyril Rioli from Hawthorn.
And Shawnee ended up giving me a really big hug. He was the last one to give me a hug before I went up on stage, so he was just excited. I mean, it looked like he won it. He was rapt, but anyone could have, like, on that day, you felt like there were a number of guys who actually could have won it, you know? I felt like that day was, we just all, you know, we all stuck together and played our way, really.
In the full episode of this podcast, Cyril and Howie reminisce on a fishing trip they went on together a few years ago. Cyril also shares his favourite and toughest memories in footy and his reasoning for retiring. Again, if you want to hear the full episode, you can just get it via the link that I'll put in this description here, and be sure to check out the Howie Games, available on Apple, Spotify and the Listener app.
Listener.